This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringue-a-tang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All throws with monkey sounds in there and called good.
The old like Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Welcome into another edition of Danny and Friends. Patrick Harris with you. That's Danny Meringue to my left. He actually owns this show. Hi, friend.
Hi.
Quiet day.
Yeah,
quiet
no, I'm day. Definitely not on my phone endlessly for any reason
quiet,
whatsoever.
Quiet little Tuesday, you know. It must be a Tuesday. It's always a Tuesday around here. At least that's what we say on Tuesdays.
A little Twesday action.
Twesday. I was terrified that I was not going to make the show on time. I left today at 10:50. I was like, ooh, an hour and 10 minutes. We got this. And someone crashed their car on the I-5 bridge. Look, if you're out there driving right now, just anywhere, if there's anywhere you're going to get in an accident, I know it's not controllable. Just don't do it on the bridge.
Yeah, that's...
There's no way to get around you.
Absolute hellscape. The last couple days, last week, they've been doing construction on Durham in Tigard, right in front of Tigard High School.
I haven't been to North Carolina. Beautiful, though.
Yeah, no. I had a phone call with a member of the Blazers front office that I was going to take here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I left the house an hour earlier than I normally do, and it already takes me an hour to get here.
Dude, is this the day we did a show?
Actually, yeah.
We did a show this day.
So I ended up having to take that phone call in the car because it took me almost 2 hours to get here. And I got here with not a lot of time before our show, and I gave myself an additional hour so that I could take the phone call here at 10:30.
I was looking at, I always throw the GPS on. You know,
the Google Maps. Or the Waze.
The Google Maps on.
Just in case.
Not because I don't need to know where I'm going, but I need to know
the
time.
Gives you the heads up.
Yeah. And I'm sitting there. I'm pulling out onto Highway 99 from my house, and it says I will arrive at 11:50. And I was like, oh, hell no.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah.
And then at like 11:22, I'm still there in Vancouver, and all of a sudden it's like, you will get there 11:36.
You're like, oh, good. It cleared. Thank God.
Praise the Jeebs.
Yeah, because, there's a lot of things I like about living here. Like, we're getting it right now with the glorious weather and the greenery and all those things. Like, the summers here are just absolute bangers.
Having one right now.
But the whole, for a city this size, we have the worst road engineering setup.
Oh, if there's ice in my neighborhood, I won't make it to work.
Forget the ice.
Even like, if you pay me millions of dollars.
There is basically one way in and out of Newburgh. Like, you can you can go out the south way.
Sure, you can go round ways, but there's really only
like
one.
Just, it's 99. And if there is anything that blocks anything anywhere, it just screws everything up. And then you have to cross, no matter what, you have to cross multiple different railroads. Like, it's just like, and during that time of the day, for whatever reason, we run 3 mile long trains to the city.
Isn't there that famous promo? It might be still airing right now, where Dusty asks you about this and he kind of says, hey, if you know the train's coming every day, why don't you work to avoid the train coming every day?
I'm sorry, I don't check the Union Pacific Railway freaking traffic.
You might have to, Daniel.
What's funny is
you might have to.
I've got a buddy who was one of the lead safety dudes, like oversaw like an entire region.
Yeah, my stepdad's a train engineer guy.
Okay, and the things he has told me, and this isn't like Union Pacific, but like derailments that happen around the country, buddy.
My pants got a little tight there for no reason whatsoever.
It made me go, oh yeah, I don't ever want to be on a train. Like, it happens far more often than you think it does.
And that's so sad because I think there's something romantic about a train.
Sure. Have you ever taken a train anywhere?
Yeah.
I've done the Portland to Seattle one.
I've done that a couple times. I've also done Spokane to Portland.
Okay.
I lived.
Is the one that follows the river?
It kind of.
And then it kicks up.
Yep, totally. Yeah. And
that's gotta be a pretty
it's
ride.
It's really rad.
It
goes on the Washington side, not the Oregon side.
It goes on the north side. Yeah.
It's beautiful, but yeah, if I'm gonna die, then no thanks.
Yeah, no hard pass. But I will say, driving the gorge, I've driven through, I want to say something like 34, 35 states. I've been to almost every state, but I have never had a more white knuckle experience than driving through the gorge when it was like 100 mile an hour winds and raining.
Oh yeah, I've done the snowstorms,
buddy.
I like got out of the Dalles once and was going like 5 miles an hour from Hood River to Portland.
Yeah.
And I had learned 10 minutes before I passed Hood River, they had shut down 84.
Behind you?
Yeah, so yeah. I'm like, oh, sweet. So I'm on a shutdown highway right now. This is fantastic.
I will never forget it. I was going like maybe 15, 20 miles an hour, and I had the wheel turned like probably 30 degrees.
And you're still going straight?
Still going straight. And I'm watching the semi-truck in front of me, the trailer, get blown.
Tell like my mama I love her.
Buddy, the grip I had on the steering wheel would have left extra indentations, and my butt might as well have been a suction cup.
Yeah, like you just got blisters.
Oh,
yeah.
Dude, you couldn't have pulled me off that seat. I was
making
diamonds so tight.
Making diamonds.
I have never, ever, ever been more terrified driving than that moment, because you couldn't see 5 feet in front of you because the rain was going sideways and it was pouring with crazy winds. I'm just sitting there going, why? What? Like Lewis and Clark, when they came down, that had to be like, screw this, dude.
No kidding, man. Like, I don't know.
You imagine being on a boat?
Would you rather be in a boat?
No, not in that
way. I was about to say, like, it's funny.
You're just getting slammed against the shore.
It's funny that our mass transportation is still cars, that we've been doing this for, you know, 70, 80 years in cars, and they're some of the most dangerous things you can step into.
Yep.
Not to mention that we're all just blindly following the same rules. Mm-hmm. We're just blindly accepting the rules.
That this person is going to behave.
Turning, how you merge, how you change lanes, your speed, etc. And there's dolts out there that do crazy things, of course. But the 90% of us are just, again, blindly following along like little lemmings, praying that we're not going to drive this car off a cliff with everybody else.
That this person in front of you or coming at you doesn't decide, I don't want to live anymore.
Yeah, I've decided, no thank you, and ooh, that Bronco looks cool.
Yeah, it's just like, and it's just so, like, I lived in North Dakota, and they're like, yeah, it's, you know, 10 inches of ice for 6 months out of the year, but like, it was kind of weird. Like my girlfriend at the time lived in Fargo, and I was in Grand Forks, it's about 40 minutes away.
Okay.
But it's just basically a straight line.
I think you mispronounced Dakota. It's pronounced Dakota.
Yeah, I know. Ura Dakota, eh? Yeah. But I used to make that drive at like 100, 110.
Yeah.
And if you'd slow down in the winter, you would slow down to like 90, even with that much ice, because like, it didn't matter how fast you were going. If you were going off the road, you were going off the road, and you were going into the snowbank. Like, that's just what it was. And it was just...
might be better to not go slower.
You just kind of...
And you just keep going. Don't stop.
Yeah.
If you tap that brake, you go.
Oh, I'm telling you, like, if you've ever lived in a place like that gets that kind of snow and ice, you don't touch the brakes. You just... You try to counter correct and you try to counter steer, but you just... It's a full-on let Jesus take the wheel situation of like...
Fortunately, I have not.
I only went off the road once, and I was taking leave and coming home, but I used to drive from Grand Forks to Minneapolis, because flying out of Grand Forks would cost anywhere between $2,000 and $3,000 more than if I would drive 3.5 hours to Minneapolis.
Sure.
Well, I left at like midnight for like a 6 o'clock flight, and in between like Bemidji and Minneapolis, this guy ran me off the road. Like, there's nobody. I mean, nobody on the road. It's frozen, icy, all those kind of things. This guy roars past me at like 120 and just cuts me off. Like, right past the front of my car.
Excuse me, sir.
I have to turn, or he's going to hit me.
Yeah.
And I end up in this snowbank, and thankfully I had this yellow blazer that like stood out.
Oh, yeah.
But I had the snow kit. You know, I had the rock ice packs,
the whole thing, a flare,
shovel. Yeah. I mean, it was 20 below. I had, you know, a parka, like out of Star Wars, you know, and like a parka that literally like covered.
You're on
Hoth. Whole face went
cutting
down.
Open tauntauns.
Yeah. Passed down Nerd my alert. Knees. I had rubber boots that I could slide over and gloves that went up past my elbow. And I'm trying to dig this thing out. And I'm on this hill. So I'm like, I'm so screwed. I'm in the middle of nowhere. It's 20 below. Like, I can't stay outside digging for that long, because if you stay out in that cold for that long, you will do damage. And this dude in this old Charger stops out of nowhere. He's like, I don't know, man.
Outlook not so good, says the Magic 8-Ball.
Yeah, I'm like... I go, yeah, I know. And I'm like, do you want to try it? He's like, I got the horsepower. So he's got this, you know, 350, 400 horsepower.
Try not to kill the bumper, but get me out of here.
Oh, well, we went frame to frame with rope.
Yeah.
He gunned it, I gunned it, and I just barely swung it up, and he just kept, like, he started to slow down. I got the window down. I'm screaming, go! And we get it back out on the road, unhook. I had some cash in my wallet. I gave the guy $100, and I go, I don't care if you're going to take it or not. You're going to take it, dude. You have no idea, like, what you just saved me.
You just saved my life.
I'm like, who knows if anybody's going to stop until the sun comes up.
I hope that guy moved to Portland, Oregon, is listening to this.
I hope so.
Right,
whoever that dude is out there, you were a lifesaver.
You are owed a big one
because
in life.
It would have cost me a fortune to change the flight because the next flight to Portland out of there wasn't until, like, the next day.
Yeah, you'd have been hosed big time.
Come on, man.
Oakley Doakley. Well, we do got a show for you today. There is a lot to get to. Funny enough, this Tuesday became kind of a wild adventure.
Yeah, we were expecting some fireworks in the NBA, and these aren't even the fireworks that I've heard.
Yeah,
so
this is just the beginning of the party, which should be kind of a wild party. There's a lot to get to, too. We'll get to some NFL news in the 2 o'clock hour. We'll touch on a little bit of baseball because it's a holiday today. We'll do that in the second hour, plus everybody's favorite worst day on the web. But, you know, the English always say when they're trying to win a World Cup, it's coming home. Is he coming home? That's next. Danny and Friends, 1080 The Fan.
My butt might as well have been a suction cup.
I don't know if you knew I had that. You said it in the break, and I was like, little does this guy know
that
I know what's going on.
Look, Hawk's an all-timer.
He is an all-timer, and what's terrible is that I hate the White Sox.
Oh, yeah.
I absolutely cannot stand them.
The crazy thing is they had Hawk, and then they had, what's his name, who just left for the Tigers, filled in for the Blazers. God dang it. It's killing me. He's incredible.
I have no idea. I don't listen to Tigers broadcasts.
Oh, God.
Or White Sox broadcasts.
He does TV for NBC. God dang it. Russ, do you know, filled in for Calabro this year?
Travis DeMers?
No. Out of market guy. God, I can't remember his name, but the White Sox had him and lost him.
Not Pete Pranica.
No. God, I'm going to Google this while we talk about Damian Lillard.
Well, speaking of Damian Lillard, huh? You know, you go to bed sometimes.
Jason Benetti.
Oh, okay. Yes, yeah. Yes. Benetti's great.
But he was with the Sox.
That is true. I
actually
did see him on a White Sox game or on a Tigers game.
Oh, he's incredible.
You know, you go to bed sometimes and you got, like, you're thinking, how are we going to do this show tomorrow? All right, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And then I woke up this morning and was like, whoa, SGA makes a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we'll talk about that. Whoa! Wow! Oh, all right.
Yeah.
The Milwaukee Bucks are waiving point guard Damian Lillard. They are going to stretch his $113 million contract over the next, 6 years?
Five years. Yeah.
Is that what you were saying in the update? Five years. 5 years. But he is now a free agent. Let's not forget he did tear his Achilles. So he will be out for the next season. But Damian Lillard is a free agent. And I'm curious. Now, the headline states this as to make room for the Miles Turner deal, which is a big move for the Bucks, and we can talk about that as well.
It's a two-parter. Like, that's the reason they did what they did.
The Miles Turner is a huge grab for them and even a worse loss for the Pacers. But this let's center this around Damian Lillard. And how does this all come to fruition? Like, this is their guy. Imagine the draft capital, the assets, the money they put into getting this guy and making this happen, and now it's over in a flash.
Yeah, and that's the thing about you've heard me say this now a couple times. CBAs define eras, and you know
we've talked about this. Like this is a whole new ball game.
And Ramona Shelburne had it earlier today on Twitter. Ramona Shelburne, ESPN, was like, "Don't expect this to be the last time we see guys waived and stretched, because like the implications of being in the first, second aprons, the punitive nature." It is destroying the Celtics.
Dude, second apron is the trendiest word I've heard since food cart. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it's a dumb word. And
it is literally the only thing I hear people talk about now.
Who knew there would be ramifications of trying to change things so that there was some de facto hard cap that would all of a sudden make building teams much more difficult? And like, the thing that I've been monitoring is not the first tier guys like Dame, Giannis, SGA, those guys that when they're at their powers, are all timers, first ballot Hall of Famers.
Without doubt.
It's not even the next tier down of you're really good all stars. It's the guys that we saw traded yesterday. Michael Porter Jr.
The fringe dudes. Like, not quite all stars, but like got skills.
Yeah, but like Zach LaVine. Mm-hmm. Domantas Sabonis is probably the top of that group. Like, he's an all-star, but like the way you build around him is finite, right?
Like, yeah,
you
D'Angelo have, Russell, dudes like that.
Well, he's even further down, but like if you say him at his best,
yeah,
sure. But it's guys that like got these really big deals that under the new CBA, they sure as hell would not. Like, you're just like, would Sabonis still get a lot of money? Yeah. Would they give him the max? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Zach LaVine? Absolutely not. Michael Porter Jr. getting that money? Absolutely not.
Poor Zach LaVine. He's the guy that nobody wants, but is always he's on good. The market. He's well, great. He, like, he's like, good.
He's a
well,
good.
I shouldn't say great. He's good.
He's very good.
Very good.
He's very, like, people who crap on him, I'm like,
No.
He's a good player.
Yeah, and he kind of had a little bit of a rap, you know, not to tangent too much, but he kind of had a little bit of a rap of like an Aaron Gordon. It's like, cool, you can dunk. Can you play basketball? And then it turned out as he aged, he can play basketball.
And there's some injury stuff with him, but like as a basketball player, if you were paying him $35 million a year, you're like, great, awesome.
Yeah.
Like that, I could talk myself into that. Even if you could go like, oh, maybe it's a slight overpay a couple years ago, like in the current market, that's good. Like if you get a 20-point-a-game scorer, that's a three-level score you could run your offense through efficiently at $35 million, you're doing great. Why this is so crazy for the Bucks is if this doesn't work, because if Giannis looks at this, because Giannis had to have known because he was helping recruit Miles Turner to come to the Bucks.
Like, thinking Turner signs, we'll get a healthy Lillard, nobody works out harder than Damian, no one's a dog like Damian, blah, blah, blah.
This would require this. Like I've been told that Dame was told about this possibility yesterday. So, but from Dame's side of it,
have a good night's sleep.
He's thrilled.
Well, yeah,
because he gets his
money, and now you're free to do
whatever you want.
Yeah,
and talking to him a little bit, not today. I mean, I did talk to him this morning, but a little bit before, like he was very likely, no matter what he did, like if the Bucks ended up trading him,
mm-hmm.
he was very likely going to rehab here. Now he would go. Be a part of the team and the facility and all that kind of stuff, but then probably come back and continue rehabbing. Like, because it's a very long, arduous process. Like, when you're talking about these injuries, whether it's him rupturing his Achilles or Taylor Hendricks for the Utah Jazz, who had a disgusting compound fracture beginning of last season.
I mean, don't sleep on Kyrie's torn ACL either.
Like, if you're talking about injuries that are 8 to 16-month recovery timelines.
Full season injuries.
Yeah, Tyrese Halliburton, Jason Tatum. Like, those guys, they aren't around.
You don't need to be around.
No, like Robert Williams, when he tore his knee, like he went
go
back
where you
home.
Need to go. Nobody's going to blame you for
no,
that.
No, because like you're just going to like you're going to fly up and do your check-ins and do all those kind of things. But it's a lot of just, especially in the beginning, it's rest.
Yeah.
Now Dame's a lunatic, and he told me 10.
He means that in a nice way.
I love him, but he's a like he, somebody needs to protect him from himself, and I mean that in the most loving way. I genuinely love the dude, not just as the
well.
Guy
I've never
covered,
I've
like,
never met a single person that's interacted with him that's said otherwise.
But like he needs to protect him from himself. Sometimes he told me that he got clearance to start working out 10 days post op.
Really,
10 days.
That's insane.
He's a lunatic.
You can't do that, bro.
Well, I mean, he is. Like, he's just not. So what he's doing.
See, it sounds like I was telling you before we started, my best friend broke his arm last night. And he was like, oh, my plans for the summer are ruined. Big rafting guy, big mountain bike, you know, exercise fiend. And I know when the doctor clears him, he's going to get at it. And it's like, yo, bro, just slow down a minute.
I mean,
just slow down a minute.
I had to with my hip surgery.
Yeah,
I didn't have a choice.
Yeah. Especially Achilles, man. Like, yeah, like how easy it is to tear that again. Plus, it's such a gruesome injury. I cannot imagine what it feels. I had a buddy that happened to him in college.
Hard pass. You
could see it coiled up in his calf. And just seeing it makes me not want to think about how it feels.
Dude,
like watching Hallie, they kept showing that clip.
The rebound?
Like, I'm just like, it looks terrible. How is it going to feel?
I'm not going to lie. When Dame tore his Achilles, that was like, I cried.
Well, I think we all felt what you're about to say.
Yeah, like, but that moment right there is when I gave up basketball.
Yeah.
Like I've been toying with the idea of like, I'm going to really go into golf.
Playing basketball.
Like, I'm done.
Oh yeah.
Like,
at our age?
I'm done.
No
like,
way.
I'm just like, I know guys my age that can continue to play basketball that have all ruptured their Achilles. You guys don't see this when we go to break, but because of my hips, I can't sit for very long periods of time without getting, if you watch on YouTube, you see me shuffling around all the time because it's not okay for me to sit forever because if I sit for a long period, they will literally tighten up and it's like I stand up like a 90-year-old man. I go over to the wall and stretch my calves and I stretch my quads and my hamstrings and my back every freaking break because like, after Dame, Tatum, and Hallie, I'm like, those guys are in incredible shape. How the hell is my old busted ass going to be able to get through that?
I think I felt that way when Clay did it.
Yeah, right? Like, I was just like, but I just look at that injury. It's so devastating. The recovery is so long. And Dame's posted a bunch of workout videos down to the Lion's Den and Tiger with Sam, his guy who he works out with. And, like, he's doing, like, balance and strengthening exercises around his Achilles. So he's doing like quad and hamstring stuff. And like when I had my hips, I think I mentioned this before, like we were able to diagnose my hip issue because I had 80% bilateral tear in my right Achilles. Mm. And it was because my hip was so bad that my quad moved over, pulled my calf like up. It was in this constant state of tightness that I have a little bone spur on the back of my ankle. My Achilles was rubbing against it. The bone was sawing the Achilles.
I don't feel good right now.
No, it was awful. And I went through probably a month of just drastic physical therapy where I was going in 2 and 3 times a week to have my calf scraped out. Let me tell you right now, if you've never had your shins scraped out for 40 minutes with that gua sha tool, it is, especially for me, because at the time I had disgusting shin splints that, like, I was in tears every time they did this. And finally, one time they were just like, have you ever had any of the hip issues? Like, we know your knee issues, but like, they shot the x-rays and like, shout out Rebound. They're incredible. Shot the x-rays in the room next door, go back in. My doctor goes, I don't have to tell you, man, your right hip is 80, your left hip is 90.
Ugh.
And I was like, word?
I hope everyone's having a nice lunch right now.
Yeah. And so like, but I was going to pop my Achilles like at any given time before this.
Ugh.
And that terrified me. And yeah. Now seeing these injuries and the recovery processes, I'm just like, I can't do that. And for Dame to now have the, like, this is crazy. Cause number one, this is the largest wave and stretch in NBA history.
And probably the beginning, as we said, CBAs dictate generations. And probably the beginning. We saw this in baseball with what the Dodgers are doing. Mm-hmm. And some people choose not to follow it. Like, yeah. The Mets are going to pay Soto all up front. Doesn't mean everyone will be stretched.
No, it just looks for these opportunities. And I'm wondering if the league, I think they can reopen it in 2 years to make some amendments, if I remember mm-hmm. right, to the CBA. I'm wondering if they're going to keep this going the entirety of the CBA.
Would the league be anti this, though? Do you think it'd be a way to continue to go back to stacking teams?
No, I think they're going to would try to find maybe to be a little less punitive, particularly on the second apron side. And I wonder if...
Oh, more helpful for the club.
Just in clubs in general, allow a little more flexibility because it's almost impossible to do transactions when you're in the second apron because you can't aggregate salaries. You can't do these things. But even more than that, I wonder if they discuss the amnesty provision because yeah. That was one thing that was not really talked about, but people definitely wondered about the CBA was because of the transition being so different from what it has been. Would they allow an amnesty provision? So you could see a Michael Porter Jr. amnesty. You mm-hmm. could see, like, those contracts were just like, yeah, we like the dude, but this contract is so, I mean, the Denver Nuggets gave up a 2032 unprotected first round pick. Now they got Cam Johnson back and I like Cam Johnson.
Love getting Cam Johnson.
But he has his own injury concerns, but he makes like $17 million less.
Yeah.
$17 million is a really good player in the NBA. So for Dame, he now gets the best of both worlds. He gets all of his money. Because what's crazy is the money that he's getting is the extension that he signed in Portland.
Yeah.
That's the money that starts today.
Bullet dodged.
I didn't want to say it, but grand scheme and yeah. All those things.
We're all thinking the same thing.
Did Joe Cronin make the right decision in doing that? And like, it's very hard for me to parse this out, obviously, because I cover the team, but because mm-hmm. I love Dame not only as a player, but as a person.
Like the guy, yeah.
They've both told me they probably should have done it a year earlier.
Sure.
But neither side was...
ready.
Not only that, like, Joe can't step in his first
year
thing he does.
And trade your franchise player.
And because he's been there forever. He knows the value of what Dame is. Yeah. And Dame, his loyalty that he built up, he couldn't be the guy after saying this that I need to, you know, get out.
Let's stick right here because there's still more to do. Damian Lillard is a free agent. What does that look like? You know, we touched on recovery process, but what does the future hold for Damian Lillard? I think we were concerned just with the Achilles tear in itself, but now that he's a free agent, is there a chance that everyone's dream of him coming home and helping these babies get somewhere? We'll do that next, but first we'll send it over to Rusty with sports.
I don't know if I'm going to be putting on this headset again.
1233 Portland Sports Leader, don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. Fan text line 503-864-6326. This guy says, it would take me 5 years to fully recover, and I sit at a desk for a living.
Yeah, I just...
I have no idea. I'm not even terrified about the recovery. I'm just terrified about the injury itself.
Yeah, oh, no.
I've never been under the knife.
Oh, you lucky son of a bee.
Yeah, so I'm just like, I've had my nose broken multiple times, and that's it. Some sprains, things like that.
I still vividly remember the first time I tore my ACL.
Yeah, no knife. No knives for me. No knives.
My sophomore year on a wake skate, and I absolutely ate it, and my foot stuck, and it spun around. My foot spun around. And just
like Willis McGahee style?
Just spun it, yeah. And I remember popping up, like, the snap sound, it, like, echoes like a tree snapping in your skull. It is, like... When you tear it, you know. There's like, and I will never forget, after my dad circled around with a boat, and I was just laying on my back, and I leaned all the way back and let my knee come up to the top of the water. It was already like turning black and blue and just the size of a grapefruit. And my dad, who now has dual knee replacements, who was like, we got to get to the hospital. And I was just like,
Continuing with this Damian Lillard situation, the talk of the town. I see it all over my Reddit feed. We're seeing it on the text line, YouTube. Shout out YouTube listeners. What up, guys? Damian Lillard to Portland. Let's start with, is it a good idea? And then we can talk about if it's a reality. Would it be a good idea to bring him in while he recovers on a one-year deal and basically pay him to hang out at the facility and mentor young kids?
I think if, number one, Dame's going to take his time.
Sure.
Number two,
there's no rush for him.
No. Number two, I think he's going to sign a two-year deal if he does go somewhere. So he gets, so it'll be like a rehab tour and then
come see back how next we year. Do next year in the 2027 season, see how he can actually
Look,
play.
During the whole summer of Dame, mm-hmm. You know, I've been open about
the
this.
The summer of Dame.
It was 89 days of it.
I remember.
From three requests
I lived
the
through it. I am a P1 of this station.
I talked to him a lot during that summer. And even when it got messy, Dame lives here.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't move here. This is his home.
Yep.
He built a palatial estate that he had, you know, custom built for him. Portland is his home. No matter what happens.
I love that.
When he comes back, he's going to live here.
Yeah.
He's going to be like a lot of guys have been that have stayed in town. You know, Channing Frye, you met his wife and got married here. TP lives here. A lot of the alumni still live here. Like there were Uncle Cliffy lived
Uncle
here.
Spliffy.
Duck lived here.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jerome lived like those. There's a lot of guys that like
Brian Grant used to live out in Camas.
Yeah. And again, shout out BG. He was at Young Hansen's presser. It was so good to see him, man. He was in good shape and good
Great.
Spirits. It was really cool to see him. But he wouldn't care me saying this. He has told me flat out that he wants to finish his career here.
That'd be great. And that's the question. Is this the time for to finish the career? I mean, the Achilles at his age, it's not a good sign.
No.
Not trashing the guy by any means.
But he can also...
I'm not going to say you're cooked.
He doesn't have to worry about finances at all
at
the
all,
next 2 years.
At
like,
all.
It's taken care of.
You can be cap friendly.
Yep.
You can be whatever you want. And if you want to finish at his age, is a two-year deal the last contract he ever signs? Potentially. 2 year with maybe a team option?
Well, he's always told me he didn't want to be a guy that played into his late 30s, into his 40s. Like he was
looking
like,
bad.
Well, not just that.
If you look as good as LeBron, I'll play till 41.
But even then, he's always said, I don't want to be one of those guys that's just hanging on.
Yeah.
Now, things change.
And you might not be hanging on.
Yeah, but not even that. He was just like, when I'm done, I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, there's not going to be a Karl Malone with the Lakers situation. He was like
Gary Payton on the Heat.
Yeah, he told me flat out he didn't want to do that.
I don't think anybody. Really but
also,
wants to do
I
that.
Well, I think guys are hesitant to give it up because it's all they know.
It's all they know. Yeah,
and I get that. And again, things change. And don't take like word is bond here because it could change for Dame. I mean, the Achilles injury changed everything for him. I don't know if where the Blazers are at right now, if it would make sense because they did just trade for Jrue.
Yeah.
And they have to make a decision on Scoot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in a grand roundabout way, like, personally, I would love for him to come back.
Of course.
But, like, I don't think that the fit makes sense for him right now, especially if he wants, if he does want to go ring chasing. He has an opportunity here.
He's got about 3, maybe 4 years to chase a ring. And I don't know if that timeline is the Blazer timeline. I don't think 3 years is a Blazer timeline. No. I think 4 would be maybe a Western Conference Finals, maybe. But I think timeline here is more like 5 years.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is you kind of look where this stuff is at and you go, does it make sense for him right now? I don't think so, for either side it makes sense. Now, it makes sense for him to be home.
Sure.
Especially in the rehab portion.
He also doesn't need to sign a contract this year. Like you said, he's got the money.
There could also be a team that goes into the season with some cap space and he goes, you know what? This team is like, let's say a team just pops. Like, I'm using Atlanta as an example, mm-hmm. but don't take that. But like, the East is so wide open
insanely.
Right now. Like what the Pacers just did this last year, if you get to one of those spots that you all of a sudden you get on that team and like you can be a dude.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, maybe if Charlotte finally pops. I mean, I'm just joking. That'll never happen.
let's say Washington.
Yeah.
Let's say Washington wins the lottery next year and they get A.J. DeBonta.
Mm-hmm.
Like he ends up going, or Cam Boozer, whatever.
Yeah, they get the second or third and get a Cam Boozer.
Whatever guy, and all of a sudden, let's say Koulibaly pops and Sarr takes a leap, mm-hmm. and you're like, yeah, you know, Bob Carrington's nice, but even old Dame at, you know, let's say he's 23 a game.
Yeah.
He's 23-6. Like he's still pretty damn good.
Well,
like, but I'm saying, like, what if one of those, and I'm just using these as examples. These are not teams that I believe are going to do that, but
sure,
like,
sure.
A team like the Pacers, that like, you're like, they're good, but like, they were really good. They just, like, I mentioned this the other day. I have a new deeply held belief. One of them is if the Blazers hold on and beat the Lakers in game 7, they win an NBA title.
They beat my Pacers.
They win an NBA title.
For sure. I think we all agree on that.
If Brandon and Greg are healthy, I believe they win a title.
With LA? Yeah.
Yeah, I believe they win a title. My next one that I have added to this list, if Tyrese Halliburton is healthy, the Pacers win
that
game.
Boy, it felt that way. We talked about this all the time. Yep. It really felt that way.
And again, I'm not saying that to take away from the Thunder.
No, not at all.
It is the way Hallie was playing in that moment.
I was texting you. It was like, ugh.
Yeah, it was.
I went to the bar to watch the game, and that happened, and I was like, check, please.
Yeah, I'm ID.
Because I was on vacation, and I was like,
I don't want to sit here and do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but if does one of those situations pop up for Dame? He has time to survey the market, and he doesn't have to worry about the, financial ramifications, anyways, because Dame is fine.
but we've seen some point guards age like that. Now, I'm going to mention a couple names, and they play a lot better defense than Dame ever has. So he would have to, I don't necessarily say he has to change his game, but he would have to find the right situation. There are guys that aged and were still very impactful and very good. Chris Paul comes to mind. Darren Williams comes to mind. Mike Conley Jr. right now. I mean, like, how valuable is he to that team?
Yeah.
And he's the fourth best player on that team.
He's 38 years old.
But maybe the most valuable.
Yeah.
You know, obviously Ant's the best, but maybe the most valuable because he's the old guy bringing it together. Jrue Holiday, same situation. Like, can you find yourself in a position? Again, those guys play a little better defense than Dame does.
Just that. It's the Vince Carter, Rudy Gay, like, yes, you've had an injury, but like you change your game, you mature your game, and you find a way to still thoroughly impact basketball.
Shane Battier played for 20 years.
Look, and you have to adapt and you have to change and all the things that kind of come with that. And that's just gonna be interesting for Dame because he was a guy that, while fast, quick, twitchy, he didn't necessarily rely on being the fastest or the quick. Like, nobody ever talked about him like John Wall, like getting coast to coast.
Yeah.
The fastest in basketball. Mm-hmm. Like that, even young Dame, when he dunk competition Dame.
Kyrie's finishing.
It's about setup and understanding. Mm-hmm. Like, and if you're talking about how guys get set up, Dame's probably one of the 5 best guys in the NBA. Like, it's move into counter move. It's IQ. It's feel. It's like, if I do this, they're going to do this, and then I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this. It's a decision tree matrix that he has mastered. He's told me so many times, like, do you know, you mean more guys in the league are more talented than I am? He goes, I just had to think the game better and differently and faster, and that's what I got better at. Because if you go and look at like his pick and roll data from college at Weber State, nobody ran more pick and roll than him.
Mm.
Nobody,
and nobody watched him run more pick and roll than anybody else.
And that was the thing. It's like he became a film junkie, and Phil Beckner, who was his assistant and now his skills trainer, was at Weber State with him, and they put him in that position, and he was the most effective pick and roll guard in modern college basketball history. Like, he was that prolific at it, and that's why he ends up getting drafted where he does in the career that he has.
He's a Hall of Famer, top 100 player of all time. Well, we wish Damian a speedy recovery and all the best. And, you know, if you see him walking around town, just give him some love. It's I would put the brakes on what anything that's going to happen soon. I would be shocked if we hear anything in the near future. Obviously, the man's got a lot going on in his brain, but we wish him a speedy recovery. And we come back. I want to – the NBA continues to be the gift that keeps on giving these days, as there is now. I got to check the books, but he might be the highest paid athlete salary wise in North America. We'll do that next. Danny and Friends, 1080 The Fan.
It's time for the Easy Play, brought to you by HomeZ, making home improvement easy.
Hit hard, center field. This is really belted back. It's his second home run tonight. Randy Arozarena.
That is Aaron Goldsmith on Root Sports. Randy Arozarena, two home runs last night. That one's a three-run jack, opened up a 5-1 lead over the Royals. Mariners sit six games back of the Astros in the AL West. Got a little bit of work to do.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how many games they seem to win, as the Astros seemingly keep winning more.
Death
so
by
there's no ground being covered.
Death by a thousand cuts. This
Cal Raleigh with his league-leading 33rd last night.
There you go.
I know, and there's still six games back.
Yeah.
This Easy Play brought to you by HomeZ. Use HomeZ's online calculator to estimate your project instantly. Make it easy. Call HomeZ. That's HOMZE. HomeZ.com. Coming up in the second hour, it is a holiday today, so we'll touch on that. Also, worst day on the web at 1:30. Plus, we'll get into some NFL news and notes in the 2 o'clock hour. I know you guys talked about it yesterday, but that Steelers franchise, I got a lot of questions. So we'll get to that in a second hour, talk a little football and break this up. We'll keep eyes on any other stuff going on in the NBA. But we've got a new richest guy in sports. And, you know, Danny, I was talking to my wife this morning. I was talking to preschool, and she was telling me, I go, you know, the sports gods have shined on me this morning. And she goes, well, what do you mean? And I go, well, there are all these crazy stories. It's going to be a great show today. I'm going to fill in for Dusty, and Danny and I are going to have a blast. She was like, oh, really? Like what? And I was like, well, Damian Lillard got released. She was like, whoa. And then I go, and SGA is now the highest paid player in the NBA and maybe in all of North America. I'm about to check that stat right now. And she goes, who? And I was like, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
MVP?
MVP. Finals MVP. Remember we were watching, I kept saying, look at that guy. Number two, SGA, he's awesome. She goes, no idea. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was fascinating to think about, that maybe he is that far away from the regular household name, but he's paid like it.
Oh, no, he is. And he's now going to make over $71 million a year in average annual value. Now, it'll be a little below that to start, and it'll go a little above that to finish. It's 4 years, $285 million. $70 million a year. And I've mentioned this so many times. By the time Victor Wembanyama comes up for his full
Supermax,
full unabashed, not the fun max, not the first Supermax, 9 years going to, so his first five, and then his after his second
superstar
four.
Max, basically
the one that just that punches you in the face as a front office. You want to give it because they're so good.
Yeah, the James Harden deal.
That deal will very likely be $100 million a year.
Yeah, that's insane.
So it'll be $400 million. Plus,
and
it'll probably be like $405 million.
And you've got the better head on this than I do. And so for us, you know, regular old NBA jocks over here, $100 million. When we talk about, you know, there's all this talk with TNT losing rights and it going to NBC and the ESPN and how much we hate ESPN coverage, but we're hopeful with inside the NBA, et cetera, blah 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 blah. Is the NBA making enough money at turnstiles, merchandise, viewership to sustain $100 million players? Because once that gate opens, then there's going to be two of them. Then there's going to be four of them. Then there's going to be 13 of them. Mm-hmm. And will this league continue to get to a place that can sustain it? I don't know that answer.
Well, as of right now, yes, because it's baked in with the new rights deal. So the way the salary cap works in the NBA and the CBA is structured is this is part of the negotiation process, is no matter what the dollar figure is, it's a percentage of the BRI, which is basketball-related income.
Basketball-related income.
Now, what,
indulge me on that.
What that doesn't entail is teams being sold.
Okay.
or the expansion. Like, so Seattle and Vegas getting expansion teams.
Right. Blazers selling. We just saw Lakers. Just
none of that
Celtics.
Goes into BRI. So, like, the oft-rumored number right now is it's $6 billion for the rights to have an expansion team. That doesn't account okay. for the roster, if you have to build an arena.
That's just the rights to have a team.
Yes. So that's $12 billion.
That's going to influx into the NBA.
But it goes only to the current 30 NBA owners, and it's broken up between them, those 30. So those 30 will split $12 billion.
Okay.
That money, though, the TV rights doesn't change. So there's an offset in there in that through expansion, those 30 owners are now going to be giving up another piece of the pie to two more teams. So let's just, for a round number's sake,
okay.
let's say it's $100 million.
Okay.
So 30 teams get it, it's 3.3,
right.
or 330 that comes out of that,
right.
or 3.3, yeah, for each team. Well, now it's 100 divided by 32. So it has to be that high
yeah.
for the rights fees to offset that over the course of this.
Okay.
And that doesn't impact BRI.
Boy, so I'm glad I'm not an accountant.
Oh, dude, it gets, especially with this new CBA.
I can't even use Excel.
The previous CBA, there were some changes to it, but it wasn't as drastic. It was just the numbers were bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But this one has so many more machinations to it, and we're still finding things in it that are, and it's probably going to be another 2 years before we have everything kind of nailed down. But the salary is going to go up as long as the money keeps coming in accordingly. And it's going to be anywhere from 7 to 10% each year.
You don't think that this could, I mean, this is obviously going to trickle down to ticket prices, jersey prices, mm-hmm. et cetera. It will eventually get to cable, streaming, however you consume your media. Is this a slippery slope that could price out people?
I mean, you're already
like
seeing that.
The NFL grows and grows, and it is very expensive to go to an NFL game, but people still do it, but that's the number one sport.
Mm-hmm.
Can basketball continue on that trajectory
without alienating? There's got to be a bubble somewhere.
Because I got three kids.
Yeah,
the five of us to go to an NBA game, that ain't cheap.
No, it's probably $200 bare minimum.
Maybe to get in the door.
Yeah, I mean, like parking to get in the door. Like,
yeah.
And that's for like
OKCs.
But
we ride the max, baby.
But
we Poe kids.
but you know what I mean? Like, it's not cheap. And
yeah.
that's the thing is, like, it's going to be interesting to see how that part of it goes. But, I mean, the rights deal is baked into it. So, like, they know the amount that they have over the course of years. Now, what does it look like 7 years from now when that deal's up? That's where it gets interesting is, like, is there another gear that this goes to, or is this where this stops? Because like the NFL, when you saw Patrick Mahomes get paid, or you see these big quarterbacks get these crazy amount of money,
Joe Burrow money,
you
got to
put that money in escrow.
Yeah, you have to.
You have to be cat. And that's part of the reason why the Lakers sold the team. They sold the team to Mark Walter, who's worth $12 billion.
Well, but it always sounded too like Jeannie was cash.
She
poor.
Was
cash poor.
She was. That
can't
was the thing.
You own the Lakers and be cash poor.
Well, I mean, that's all they owned.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they literally made their money off the Lakers. Dr. Buss bought the Lakers,
yeah.
the Kings, the land, and like 13,000 acres for $69 million, $68 million in 78. I think is what it was.
So much money back then.
Oh God! I mean, he leveraged everything.
Like, yeah,
I'm
sure.
If it didn't work out for him, he was done, but
yeah.
they've grown their wealth.
I think it worked out for him.
Yeah, but I mean, that investment of $68-69 million. Turned into, I think Jeannie's worth like $700 million, and now she's worth like $5 billion because
she
of the
ain't
buyout.
Cash poor,
no. But you look at Clay Bennett, Oklahoma City, who just gave
yeah.
this contract. Net worth has him between $600 and $800 million.
That's not much.
Like
he might be the poorest owner.
I think he is. With Jeannie out, I'm almost certain that
he's
now
the poorest owner
in the NBA.
But let's move this to SGA real quick. I can't think of another player in the league that I'm more okay with this. I checked the stats. Juan Soto only makes like $41 million a year, which means like Mookie Betts makes more than him. But this is the highest paid player contract-wise in North American sports. There are dudes that make more money based on endorsements, et cetera, and SGA is nowhere near those endorsements yet. But I can't think of a single player in the NFL that I'd be, or in the NBA that I'd rather give this money to than SGA. There's something about him. He's a nice guy. He's got a good smile, speaks well. Obviously, when the big lights are on, he can shine. I can't think of anybody else worth more long term. Like, would you rather give this contract to SGA or to Luka Doncic?
I mean, the Lakers are going to make that decision, and they're going to give it to
him. They're going to give it to him, but would you rather? Like, you can pull whoever you want. It's a fantasy draft. You can pull whoever. I might choose SGA. And I know Luka's getting skinny, and I love Luka to death, and there's some other guys out there, you know, the Tatums of the world. I know the Achilles makes you a little ginchy, but
yeah.
But there's guys like that. Cooper Flagg, I feel, is going to be the next guy that I have no problem giving a Supermax to. Give him two Supermaxes for all
Luka's
I care.
A guy, as weird as it is going to sound, and you should probably counter this, and I'm saying the collective you. I think I would take Luka over SGA. Even with the athleticism, defensive issues because of his game. Mm-hmm. But SGA's game is also not one that's super reliant on being, don't get me wrong, he's incredibly athletic, but it's a different kind of athleticism. His game, I think both him and Luka and Jokic are guys that their games are going to age. Like when they're 33, 34 years old, they're probably still going to be really good.
Yes, they're situational. They're not just like, I got to get mine.
And that's that, like, the playmaking nature of all three guys, but also their game is more groundbound.
Mm-hmm.
And guys that are groundbound and can be incredibly successful, when their athleticism starts to fade, it doesn't just like sap everything that they are.
Sure.
Like LeBron's maturation from, you know, 300-pound LeBron in Miami to now, like, don't get me wrong, he can still get up occasionally.
LeBron Miami's the greatest basketball player of all time.
I'm not going to argue with you. Like, you put him on the block, and it was like, good luck.
Yeah,
you put
right.
a center on him, he goes around him. You put a power forward on him, he just bullied them into another dimension. But, like, LeBron's growth has been more about being more groundbound and being more about using physicality on the ground.
There aren't crazy dunks. There aren't crazy.
He has one
anymore.
Every now and then.
Sure, sure. Like, it makes the highlights on SportsCenter.
Yeah. It's like once every 10 games, he pulls one of those out and you go, yep, he's still got it in the bag.
There he is.
And you know, you see him reaching for the hand, you're like, ooh, that doesn't feel like it used to. But like the maturation of games, when you talk about guys being able to play off of 2 feet and be ground bound and be great, those are guys I trust significantly more long term. Even when there are questions with Luka's conditioning or something of that nature.
All right, coming up in the next hour, I'd like to stick just a little bit longer in the NBA as things are really crazy. And I kind of just want to ask the question, what is going on? Then we'll give the NBA a little bit of a breather and walk into some other stuff. Plus, everybody's favorite worst day on the web at 1:30. Loaded second hour. Don't go anywhere. I'm Patrick Harris. That's Danny Morang. Jeff Rust on the ones and twos. 1080 The Fan.